Zine on KBOO Portland, and we go out via 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets every third Thursday at 5 o'clock p.m.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire. And I think the one point I'd like everybody to keep in mind as we go through this show is that this is something that Malcolm X once said. Quote, "I am for truth, no matter who tells it." So there are lots of reasons, you know, tomorrow, Donald Trump will be inaugurated. And there are lots of reasons for believing that Trump is not a legitimate president. For one thing, he lost a popular vote. And that's how our elections are rigged. There's also a lot of conflict of interest charges that would apply to him. And a whole lot of sexual assault accusations, which may actually come to lawsuits. So for those three reasons, if nothing else, Donald Trump is really not a legitimate president. Trouble is, the Democrats picked on the wrong one. They are blaming Russia for Donald Trump. And to me, that is a cop-out. Trump was created by the American system, and it's silly to blame the Russians for him. Trump came from this country, and we produced him. But the charges against Russia are really kind of bogus. You know, they revolve around this so-called hacking charge that the CIA and the so-called intelligence community has made. But the real truth of the matter is that we hack Russia, along with a lot of other countries, and they hack us. That is really not in dispute, that Russia has done hacking just like we and other countries do. But as far as I know, there is no evidence that they leaked any information. When you think about it, and if you hack some juicy information, it might be more valuable to keep it, not make it public, but keep it to be used as kind of blackmail or whatever. So, in fact, Julian Assange has said that he did not get the information from the Russians. Craig Murray, a former British ambassador and whistleblower, has said that he was the one who got the information that was released, and it did not come from Russia. It came from some person in the Democratic apparatus. So there's no evidence that they leaked any information at all. And then we have this bizarre sex story about Trump going to Russia, and I'm not even going to go into the details. They are really kind of they are crazy. One thing that comes out of these charges is that supposedly the Russians sort of had their eye on Trump way back in 2011, 5 years ago. Well, he was not a serious candidate for president until much more recently than that. Why would they be grooming Trump 5 years ago? Well, you could say, well, are they watching anyone who is prominent to see what dirt they can pick up and maybe use in the future? Well, I suppose that's possible. This is something that the CIA does a lot. You know, the NSA, they eavesdrop on everybody. That information is stored, and it's possible use someplace else. And it's very interesting that Charles Schumer was on the Rachel Maddow show not too long ago, and he made a remark, kind of a warning to Donald Trump that don't mess around with the intelligence apparatus, because they have, I think he said, 6 ways till Sunday to get back at you. So basically this thing about Russia foisting Trump on us is bogus right from the start, and it's really sad to see John Lewis echoing this party line. You know, I mean, he's a hero of the civil rights movement. He's certainly a much more decent individual than Donald Trump, but I have to say, in this case, he is wrong. All the Democrats are blaming Trump on Russia when they should be looking a little closer to home. Of course, Trump's reply to Lewis was really stupid and beside the point. So that's my opinion on that whole episode, but it won't go away. The Democrats, seeing they're pushing this blame Russia line, and I don't know where they're going to go with it. The CIA and the war party, they are pushing this line, and where they take it is really kind of a little bit frightening. But if people want to phone in with their opinion on this, the number is 503-231-8187. Let's talk about it. To me, Donald Trump, he is a very ugly symptom, but he is not the disease. The disease grew out of our very exceptional history. This country was born in slavery and conquest. You could call it the biggest land grab in history. That's what makes America exceptional, is our history of taking over a whole continent and putting it to our use. At one time, what they call the Americas, North and South America, when they were discovered and colonized, the Americas were thought of in Europe as they called it a second Earth. All of a sudden, European explorers and conquerors had almost like a whole new planet at their disposal. All these resources, all this wealth, endless. They thought it was endless. It would never run out. There were land promoters all traveling all around Europe. You know, Europe was kind of crowded back in those days, and they were promoting what they called their version of the American dream. And the American dream at bottom is we stole this land from the Indians, and now we need to populate it with our kind of people so that they don't get it back. And so that's what these land promoters were doing. Like in Norway, which is kind of a country with very little good farmland, they were traveling around telling these poor farmers that, hey, you can take a boat across to America, and you can have all the land you want. So this was sort of the hyping of the American dream started way back then. And We do have a call. Frances is on the line. Good morning, Frances.
Hi. There are so many things to be concerned about right now. One thing that I just heard the other night was that we have sent military troops to Norway.
Mm-hmm, and, that's right, yes.
And Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And for what? That is the question. I agree with you as far as Russia goes. However, the media, the news media, seems to enjoy this quite a bit. I am very concerned that they are, that the media has become more concerned about making money than providing real news.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the conversation that they had with John Lewis, he said, I don't know, I don't think he's legitimate, you know. And now the conversation, the news media says, John Lewis calls president-elect illegitimate. He never said illegitimate.
That's true.
The word, that's the word they're using.
Slightly different nuance there.
Right. And then they say the war of words between so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's all this conflicting, all these terms of war and conflict about people's comments and discussions. And a lot of the comments people made are in response to questions from the media. But then when it's presented again, it's not presented as responding to a question. It's like stating and asserting a fact. And it goes on and on and on and on and on to where I can see why people don't watch the news anymore. Although they have to be aware of what's going on, it's so full of sensationalism and what we used to call yellow journalism that it's, you know, the term fake news is not correct, but it certainly is sensational news.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the media kind of, they were responsible for giving us Trump in some ways.
Exactly.
Early in the campaign, I mean, they gave him all kinds of coverage because he was so outrageous. And,
right.
You know,
that's what they wanted was the sensationalism.
Yeah, and then now they realize what they've done, and now they're going the other way. And, you know, it's...
it's all about the money, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern also is that some of the things that Mr. Trump says are actually correct. But then he's got all of this hatred surrounding him and all racism. And it's to where, you know, people can ride with him for quite a while on some of the correct things he says. But then there's all of this other stuff.
Garbage.
Going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's right now, I'm blaming the media for this, corporate media.
They got a lot of responsibility.
It seems like wars and everything. It's all about making money off of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's making it, that's how they're making it. And we have to take a step back on this, and I'm not quite sure how, but I know that everybody's doing a lot.
Well,
boycotting is a way.
Sometimes you take a step back, you see things a little more clearly. As I think people should do that more often.
And then we have to look at, you know, if I don't believe in anyone is really an enemy. But if we look at why people are doing the things they're doing, for example, these people that President-elect Trump is forming around him, what is their real agenda? What is their motivation?
Well, I don't know.
And so that's the point. We need to know what that really is so that we can address that directly.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for your call. I got another caller on the line, so thank you very much for those points. We have another caller. Jack is on the line. Good morning, Jack.
Yes. What do we have? The most recent thing to come out, the dossier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being interpreted in many ways and fully unverified, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a website called Zero Hedge.
All right.
That claims that 4chan fabricated the whole thing as a hoax.
I saw that. Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically that's it. It was fabricated as a and there's follow up posts from 4chan saying this is this is crazy. I never imagined they'd take it this far.
that the
media people took it that far. And then the intelligence community got a hold of it and added the aspect of Russian spies to it. That wasn't in the original hoax that was authored, and so they added that into it. So now my interpretation of what they've gotten, and I'm not alone in this. I've seen it in other places. That what we're seeing is a shot across the bow of the Trump juggernaut.
I think so.
From the intelligence community, and this, of course, was probably fully anticipated. I don't know if you're aware, but going back to November 2015, when Trump was first emerged as a viable candidate, he was offered Secret Service protection.
Mm-hmm.
He refused it, and I don't think and to this day, and probably going into the presidency, his own private security detail will be the closest to him. Probably protecting him even from the Secret Service. So this is unprecedented. No candidate or president has ever done that, and it suggests that he knows just what danger he is in for messing with the intelligence agencies. And now one last thing, and I'll get off. I'm not a big fan of Alex Jones, and I'm sure you know who he is.
Oh yeah,
his style is so abrasive. He's
Mike Rupert thought he was crazy.
A lot of people think he's crazy, but he's been interviewing Steve Pachinik. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Anyway, he's an old insider from the intelligence community. He's a psychiatrist, and he's an old insider from the intelligence community. And he co-authored with Tom Clancy all those Jack Ryan espionage novels and stuff. He's claiming that there is still so much corruption in the intelligence community that associates of his have worked with him to launch a coup against them. Now, what will come out of this, I don't know, and whether he's just blowing smoke, I don't know. It's hard to say, but it's intriguing what he has to say. There's a lot of interviews with him on the internet. His name is spelled P-I-E-C-Z, E-N-I-C-K, I think, or E-N-I-K. Anyway, you can find those interviews, and you can listen to them and see if you agree with them or not, or if you think he's, out to lunch. But at any rate, what he has to say is kind of feeds into this and suggests that there's a big shakeup going on, a powerful faction fight within the intelligence community, the deep state, as it were, and we're seeing bits and pieces of it. Okay.
Well.
So at any rate, I'll leave you with that, and thanks for doing this show.
Thanks for your call. I think we got somebody else. Steve is on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I just had a quick comment on people have been talking about the news organizations. And when Walter Cronkite retired, I saw an interview of him on TV, and he made what I thought was a very interesting statement. And he thought the worst thing that ever happened to news was the 60 Minutes program. He said that the program was very good, but it was the first time that a news program became profitable. And after that, everybody wanted their news programs to be profitable, and it totally changed the way they worked. And I just thought, for somebody in his position, that was a very interesting opinion.
It is. Well, that's something I think we should think about. I hadn't thought about that very much, but thanks for bringing it up.
Okay, that's all I had to say, other than you have a very good show.
Well, thank you very much. We have somebody else on the line, I believe. Boris on the line. Good morning, Boris.
Good morning. I really appreciate you bringing in an alternative viewpoint on this whole Russian, quote, hack, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that it was unfortunate that John Lewis made the statement that he made about the Russian hacking when he was interviewed on mainstream.
Well, he was just echoing a lot of other Democrats.
I actually heard it. I know mm-hmm. exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I want to say one thing briefly. I find it also unfortunate that some of the programmers on KABU are very inclined to parrot what the mainstream is saying. Mm-hmm. And I don't listen to KABU to get that kind of opinion. I can get that from CNN or MSNBC. I don't need that from KABU. Mm-hmm. So I want to get that out there, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I'm referring specifically to programming on Tuesday morning. So you'll know who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. so will listeners. But I'm sure that you probably know of these two gentlemen. If you don't, I will inform you, Ray McGovern and William Binney.
Oh, yes, very much, yes.
Both of these gentlemen worked within the intelligence community, Ray McGovern with the CIA, and I believe William Binney in the NSA.
Right.
Both of these gentlemen have come out repeatedly and stated that they have reviewed the information that's available and that there's no way that this can be a hack.
Mm-hmm.
They've stated that there are markers involved with a hack that can easily be identified as a hack. They mm-hmm. both have said that this is a leak, and it was more than likely leaked, as you stated earlier, from within the Democratic leadership.
Mm-hmm. Ray McGovern, by the way, he's quite an expert on Russia.
Yes.
He knows a lot about Russian history,
right.
And he's been a guest on this show a few times, and
Well, also Stephen Cohen, who actually came on right after the program I'm referring to on mm-hmm. KABU. And if if these people even listened to KABU, they would find, some pretty, definitive alternative explanations for what the mainstream would have us believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you listen to Stephen Cohen, you can see all kinds of holes in the propaganda stream that we are fed on a daily
mm-hmm.
basis.
Right.
And so I applaud you for being a member of KABU, a programmer on KABU, and bringing in, an alternative viewpoint that does go against the mainstream. I know there's good programming on KABU. That's why I listen to it. I just am very disgusted with the fact that occasionally I get, mainstream parroting on KABU, and it's just not necessary.
Well, I think a lot of people are really spooked by Donald Trump, and they think that I don't know. I think they're kind of losing their senses a little bit. But
well, here's another thing, too, and this is my analysis. I think it has a lot to do with laziness. I think, mm-hmm. it's much easier to just take stuff from the New York Times and from MSNBC and then pass it on than it is to actually do research and to spend some time critically thinking through an issue. I
mm-hmm.
think that's a big part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your call, and keep on listening and keep on calling, because we need to know more about this. I think there's some of the people in Washington, they really want their war with Russia, and I'm kind of afraid to see where this is all leading to, so we need to kind of talk about this a lot. So thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
I think we might have somebody else on the line. Brian is on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Pear. Once again, I appreciate what you do so much. And also appreciate what Teresa did before you. I just wanted to kind of, this might be a little off topic, but just to reiterate what she was talking about. And she brought up the Naomi Klein book, The Shock Doctrine. And I just wanted to remind everybody to check that book out and
mm-hmm.
know what's going on right now. Like you're saying about the Russian issue, it's more weapons of mass distraction, I think. And what they want to distract us from is that the fact that they want to come in like gangbusters and take everything we've got, and they can do that because we're all in shock right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can stand up and make it difficult for them, we can get past that first 6 to 9 months, maybe we have a chance. So
I hope so.
Everybody needs to really, really, really pay attention right now, because this is when they can do what they want to do. read that book. I read it, and it was just all those things that I couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together as a kid and as a young adult. I couldn't figure out what was going on in the world. I read that book, and it was like, oh, my God, now the puzzle makes sense.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. I want to make one little point here before I want to get this in before the show ends. There has been, Putin has been demonized by a lot of people in this country. You know, he has his faults. He's not beyond criticism, but he's not a monster the way he's being portrayed. One thing you hear about, one accusation against Putin is that he has supposedly ordered a lot of assassinations. That's the accusations. I have not seen any evidence of him doing that at all. There's been the charges, but there's been very little evidence. But it's very interesting that we do have evidence of President Eisenhower ordering an assassination. We have a witness to that. And it happened back in 1960. There was a meeting of President Eisenhower and his security advisors, and they were talking about the Congo crisis. And a person who was taking the minutes, his name was Robert Johnson. I believe he was an Army officer, but he was taking the minutes. And he said in an interview that he recalled the President Eisenhower turning to Alan Dulles, who was a director of the CIA, and quote, in the full hearing of all those in attendance and saying something to the effect that Lumumba should be eliminated. That was Patrice Lumumba, the prime minister of Congo. And so Eisenhower was a witness, overheard, heard him say that Lumumba should be eliminated. And Johnson recalled, quote, there was stunned silence for about 15 seconds, and then the meeting continued. Well, he gave this testimony to a committee in 1975, and it turned out that probably Eisenhower's order was not carried out by the U.S. The Belgians got there first, and they assassinated Patrice Lumumba. But here we have eyewitness evidence that President Eisenhower directly ordered the assassination of a foreign leader. Real evidence, folks, not conjecture, but still we have these people talking about the evil Putin and what he's done. So anyway, I wanted to get that in, and if there are any more calls, Meryl is on the line. Good morning, Marilyn.
Hi there. Yeah, good morning. Yes, I've been watching the hearings. I watched the Betsy DeVos hearing, and she's a Dominionist Christian,
right?
And a right wing Christian soldier,
and her brother
is Eric Prince, who has his own private army and CIA.
There we go. Yes,
and is it secretly advising Donald Trump? And another interesting fact is, like, the former Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour is getting $50,000 a month from the Ukraine as
really?
A lobbyist.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So something is going on. There's something afoot, and I think it has to do with making money. You know how Russia was exploited in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
And I think that's exactly what they have planned for.
And
us.
You know, Joe, one of Joe Biden's sons, the one who's still, you know, one of his sons died, but the other son, Hunter Biden is his name, I believe. He's making a lot of money in Ukraine with some kind of, I don't know exactly what the deal is, energy venture or some sort of business venture. So a lot of stuff going on.
Right, all these are energy people. Mm-hmm. They're all energy people. They're Rick Perry and Rex Tillerson and all those guys are energy people. And
well, you got to keep our eyes open.
They plan to keep their empire going.
A lot of stuff going on. We got to be alert and aware. So thank you very much for your call. I hear the music playing. It's time to wrap this up. Stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station.
All right. Thank you very much, Pear. Your radio station, KBOO Portland, on your Thursday. We're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints. Today, Dennis Bernstein will have some stuff here on your daily news magazine. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, an outlaw activist on the run, a pipeline set to destroy a river, and three young women who must decide who to love, who to trust, and what to sacrifice. A conversation with Susan DeFreitas, the author of Hot Season. That's all coming up, but first, Chris Andre, host Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for our Youth of Color Production Internship Program. This internship is open to people of color attending college and or under the age of 30. This is a six-month internship for 20 hours a week for $20 an hour. Responsibilities include the selection and preparation of KBOO content for national distribution using a variety of digital audio workstations and helping to develop a digital content strategy for promotion of KBOO content. Deadline to apply is Friday, January 27th at 5 p.m. More information, including skills and qualifications, can be found at kboo.fm/productioninturn2017.